I tried, trust me. I was standing on that rock for about 2 hours, and I tried talking to both of them because I was desperate. "Hi, frog," I said, smiling down at it. "Can you talk?" The frog croaked again. "I guess not, huh?" Another croak. "What do you want to do?" I asked. "Do you want to stick around and see whether there's more to the fairy tale so you can get rid of that dress, or do you want to move on?" "I don't understand what this is," Thistle said. "When I woke up, I was sure I was dreaming."
"Join the club," Landon said.
It didn't take me long to realize it wasn't a dream, though. Or to be more precise, it didn't take me long to realize it wasn't a normal dream.
"How did you figure it out?" I asked. "I talked to the bears for 10 minutes before I came to the same conclusion."
"The water kept splashing on me," Thistle said. "When you're in a dream, even if you're swimming, you don't feel the water. You just know you're swimming. I could feel every drop as it landed on me."
"Landon could feel the sand in his underwear," I said. "That was his first clue that this is more than your normal dream."
"Do you have sand in your underwear?" Thistle asked. "Does it chafe?"
"Wouldn't you like to know?"
"Not really," Thistle said.
The frog croaked again and then slapped its foot against the rock. I glanced back at the frog. "Does anyone else think the frog might mean something?"
"It's fairy tales," Landon said. "The frog means something, but we have to figure out what. What fairy tales have frogs?"
"I can only think of the one where the princess is supposed to kiss the frog," I said. I turned my attention back to Thistle. "Maybe you're supposed to kiss the frog."
"Over my dead body," Thistle snapped. "I already had to ride a turtle. I am not kissing a frog. That's just gross."
"I think that's why you're wearing the dress," I said. "You're the princess."
"Well, I'm not going to do it," Thistle said. "You do it."
"I'm not wearing the dress."
"We can trade clothes."
"Yeah, that's not happening," I said.
"Besides, this is your fairy tale," Landon said. "Bay woke up with the bears because that was her fairy tale. I woke up with the creepy mermaid because that was my fairy tale. This is still your fairy tale."
"Well, I'm not finishing it then," Thistle said. "I'd rather walk 10 miles in this dress than kiss a frog. I'm just not going to do it."
"Then let's get going," Landon said. "There's no reason for us to hang around here any longer."
The frog croaked again, and this time the sound was almost pitiful.
"I'm sorry," Landon said. "It doesn't look like you're going to get any action today, my friend. I think you hung your legs on the wrong princess. This one is a little grumpy."
Another croak.
"Let's go," Thistle said. "Which way?"
Landon looked to me for an answer. I pressed my eyes shut again, concentrating. "That way," I pointed.
"How can you know?"
Thistle asked. I shrugged. "I don't know. This is how we found you, though." Thistle shrugged.
"Okay, let's see what new horror we find. I have a feeling this is going to be the longest night ever."
I couldn't help but agree, and that was disconcerting.
If you're going to risk disfigurement by lying, the moral of the story is to make sure it's a good lie and it's worth it. If you're going to look like a freak for the rest of your life, you'd better get something really good out of the situation, like money or a convertible or a snowplow.
Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up.
5.
"How long do you think we're going to be stuck here?"
Thistle asked. We walked along the pathway, our eyes busy as we looked for the next fairy tale catastrophe. Thistle's pink dress made odd crinkly noises as she moved. It was starting to grate, but no one wanted to comment on it. We were already in a precarious situation. Adding a fight to the mix wasn't going to do anyone any good. "I don't know," I said. "It depends on whether this is a timed curse or whether we have to actually work our way through the entire world to get out."
"It's like a video game," Landon said.
"What's like a video game?"
"This. All of it," he said, gesturing animatedly. "We keep finding new tasks to accomplish. We can't win unless we finish all the tasks. We can't leave until we win. It's a video game."
"Do you think you're earning points?" Thistle asked.
Landon shrugged.
"I don't know. Does Aunt Tilly play a lot of video games?"
"Just Candy Crush and Bubble Witch Saga," I said. "She likes the first one because she likes candy, and she likes the second one because..."
"She's a witch," Landon finished. "I get it."
No, she likes the second one because she likes to fire at things and knock them down, I said. She doesn't like the witch in it. She doesn't think it looks realistic.
Landon snorted. She never ceases to amaze me.
I thought you said that about me.
You too.
Landon shifted his attention to Thistle.
Are you worried Marcus is here somewhere?
I don't know, Thistle said. I can see why she cursed you in here with us. You were trying to stop her.
I can see that, I said. I definitely think Clove is in here, though.
Me too,
Thistle said.
That means she's on her own somewhere.
What fairy tale do you think she's in?
I have no idea,
Thistle said.
Do you hear that?
What?
There's something in the bushes.
We stopped moving, but even as she shifted only her shoulders, Thistle's dress made noise.
Thistle, stop moving,
Landon ordered.
I'm looking to see where the noise is coming from,
Thistle argued.
The noise is coming from that ugly dress,
Landon said.
Stand still.
You can't tell me what to do.
I'm going to tie you to a tree and leave you here if you don't shut up and stop moving,
Landon shot back.
You don't have any rope.
This is a magic world. Maybe one will drop from the sky.
That brought up an interesting idea. It's a magic world, I muttered, my mind busy.
That's what I just said,
Landon said, nonplussed. No, it's a magic world, I said. We have magic. Do you think it works here?
That's a good question,
Thistle said.
Let's see.
She glanced around, the dress crinkling again. Every time the dress made a sound, Landon cringed as if someone raked their fingernails across a chalkboard. Thistle focused on a nearby bush and squinted, focusing on it. She muttered a quick spell into her breath and nothing. She tried again and got the same result.
Our magic doesn't work,
Thistle said. What did you try to do?
I tried to set the bush on fire.
That seems like a great idea when we're trapped in a forest we can't get out of,
Landon said.
Let's set it on fire and really make things uncomfortable.
No one needs your sarcasm,
Thistle said.
I think it's completely appropriate,
Landon replied. I stepped between them, holding up my hands to earn a temporary reprieve from the sound of their voices.
Can we please not fight? This is bad enough without everyone fighting.
I'm not the one picking a fight,
Landon said.
You've done nothing but snipe at me for the last half hour,
Thistle countered.
It's not my fault you're here. In fact, if you want to get down to it, it's your fault we're here.
Uh-oh.
My fault?
Landon arched an eyebrow.
My fault?
You were the one who told her you were going to confiscate her wine,
Thistle said.
I told her that selling it without a license was illegal. It is illegal. Your mother's the ones really going after her this time.
That's a good point, I said. Not that I want them here. And I really don't because we're fighting already. We're going to kill one another if our mothers are added to this mix. But it was Mom, Marnie, and Twyla who were really going after her this time.
Actually, it was just Winnie,
Thistle said.
My mom is wishy-washy, and Marnie didn't look as if she really cared. It was as if she was trying to stay loyal to Winnie more than anything else.
Hey, if I have to put up with my mother in this fairy tale world, you should have to put up with yours, too, I grumbled.
If I knew Aunt Tilly, she split us up,
Thistle said.
She probably cursed the three of us, and Landon, to this world and our mothers to another. She'd be running a big risk to let us all spend too much time together with nothing better to do than plot against her.
She had a point. I think the first thing we have to do is find Clove, I said. She's probably freaking out.
I agree,
Thistle said.
Seriously, can you hear that?
She turned swiftly and focused on the bushes to our left.
There's something in there.
Are you sure?
Landon asked.
No, I'm making it up because I want to mess with you. Of course I'm sure.
Landon scorched Thistle with a harsh look.
I have this incredible urge to gag you.
Right back at you.
Landon slipped around me and cautiously approached the bushes. He gave the bushes as wide a berth as he dared, and I didn't miss his hand going to the spot on his waist where his gun usually rested, only to find it absent. He was feeling vulnerable, I reminded myself. He didn't mean to be crabby, but he was so far out of his element, he was having trouble wrapping his head around what was happening.
All right, come out of there,
Landon said. This time, not only could we hear the rustling in the bushes, we could see the branches moving. What is it? I asked.
Is it a monster?
Thistle asked. It's not a clown, is it? I asked. Landon shot me a quelling look.
I'm not sure.
It's me!
We all took a step back when a dark figure jumped out of the bushes, hands raised above his head.
It took us only a second to recognize the new player. Sam?
Last time I checked, Sam said. Of course, I don't really recognize this outfit.
Join the club!
Thistle said, tilting her head to the side to study Sam's tiny shorts, white shirt, and odd vest. I'd never seen him wear a hat before, so the yellow one with the red feather on the top was distracting.
Who are you supposed to be?
I had a feeling I knew. At least he's not wooden, I said. That would be uncomfortable to deal with.
Wooden?
Thistle wrinkled her nose.
Oh, you're Pinocchio. That's interesting. I wonder why you got shoved in that fairy tale.
Fairy tale?
Sam asked, confused.
Is that what's going on?
What did you think was happening? I asked.
I had no idea,
Sam said.
All I know is I went to bed with Clove next to me and woke up in a really weird place.
Where?
Landon asked.
Is that really important?
Sam asked.
If I tell you, you're going to think I'm crazy.
Just to catch you up. You should know that I woke up with talking bears. If Thistle was trapped on a rock and had to ride a turtle to get to safety, and Landon, well, he had a sexually suggestive mermaid try to show him her seashell, I said. Sam's eyes widened as his gaze darted between us.
Is that true?
Unfortunately,
Landon said.
She was also tone deaf and swore like a trucker.
That's still better than what happened to me,
Sam said.
I had to ride a turtle,
Thistle said.
Look at my dress.
At least your legs are covered,
Sam said.
I look like I'm about to take my clothes off in an all-male burlesque show.
Only if you're into some really kinky stuff, I said. Tell us what happened. I promise, we won't laugh.
Fine,
Sam said, glancing over his shoulder to make sure no one was listening. I had no idea who he thought he was saving face for. We were all in the same boat.
When I woke up, I was in a store or something.
A store?
I had strings attached to my arms, and I was on display in the storefront,
Sam said. You weren't wooden, though, right? Sam shook his head.
I thought I was dreaming. We all thought we were dreaming,
Landon said.
Go on. After a minute or so, I managed to get down, and when I looked around the store, I found this creepy old guy watching me,
Sam said.
He had white hair, and he was wearing those really thick magnifying glasses because he was working on some craft project.
Did he talk to you? I asked.
He said he'd been hoping for a son for a long time, but I wasn't what he had in mind,
Sam said.
I'm not going into the details about how weird he was. Suffice it to say that I don't think he wanted a child because he was dying to become a father.
Gross,
Thistle said, making a face.
That is so wrong.
Something about this story tugged on a long-forgotten memory, but I couldn't quite clear my mind enough to grasp it.
I kind of bashed him over the head with a lamp, and when I raced for the door, I was accosted by a bug,
Sam said.
It talked.
Was it a cricket?
Thistle asked.
I guess,
Sam conceded.
It kept saying weird things about being brave and true. I wasn't really in a listening mood, and I couldn't find a fly swatter. I bolted from the store. I was expecting to find a town, but it was just the one store in the middle of nowhere. There was nothing else around. I heard the guy coming to the store, so I ran into the woods,
he continued.
I hid there for as long as I could. I wanted to make sure he wasn't following me, and then I just started walking.
How long have you been awake?
Landon asked.
A few hours,
Sam said.
I'm not sure. It's not as if I have a way to keep track of time.
How did you find us?
Thistle asked.
It was by accident, really. I just kept moving in the same direction, or what I hoped was the same direction, and then I heard voices. I hid in the bush at first because I wasn't sure what to expect.
I don't blame you,
Landon said.
There's no shame in it. This place is one freak show after another. I would have hidden, too.
You didn't hide when I saw you, I said. You came straight toward me.
That was after I recognized you,
Landon said.
I hung back in the trees for a minute or two until I was sure it was you. I wasn't 100% sure until you saw me and started running.
Were you running from the bears?
Sam asked. Actually, other than being bears, they weren't that bad, I said. The teenage one was a mouthy pain, but he was still pretty normal.
Except they were talking bears,
Sam said. They were. They said I came into their house the night before and tried out all their beds until I found one that was just right.
You're Goldilocks.
Maybe, I said.
She was the heroine in that story,
Sam said. I don't think we're only one thing here, I said. I think we're working our way through stories, but just because we've solved one story doesn't mean we won't have to face another. Aunt Tilly wouldn't make it that easy.
Did she curse our dreams?
Sam asked. Thistle and I exchanged a look.
We're not quite sure what this is yet,
Thistle said.
We've never really dabbled in dream magic. We don't think Aunt Tilly would do that.
I wasn't under the impression that she had many boundaries,
Sam said.
She doesn't,
Thistle said.
The rules she believes in, though, she sticks to. She's never messed with dream magic before. I don't think she would start now.
This is all because she didn't want Landon to confiscate her wine, right? No offense, but why are we all here? Shouldn't she be punishing only Landon? Thanks, man,
Landon said, irritated.
I'm glad we're all on the same side here.
I put my hand on his arm to calm him. Landon. Landon ran his tongue over his teeth, clearly trying to tamp down his temper.
I'm sorry. It's just, this is all so unbelievable. I can't believe this is happening. I kind of wish I'd hidden in a bush as you did. I could have sat it out until this was all over with.
I wasn't hiding because I was afraid,
Sam protested.
I was hiding because I was being cautious.
I rolled my eyes, and out of the corner of one of them saw a hint of movement on Sam's face. Was he giving me a dirty look? I turned back to him, but his face was placid. Something was different about it, though.
What was that? I asked.
What was what?
Sam asked, confused. Your face. Something is different.
Oh, great. Am I starting to turn to wood?
Sam ran his fingers over his forehead and cheeks, worried.
This is my favorite night ever.
It happened again. This time I was sure of it. While I was staring directly at him, I realized what the change was. So did Thistle.
Your nose just grew,
Thistle said, pointing.
What?
Sam clapped his hand over his nose, horrified.
My nose is getting bigger?
You're Pinocchio, I said. If you lie, your nose gets bigger.
I wasn't lying. Crap! I felt it this time.
Sam was starting to panic.
You need to stop lying,
Thistle said.
Even little ones are going to affect you. If I were you, I'd keep my mouth shut as much as possible.
Sam glared at her.
Thanks for that. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't think the curse knows the difference between truth and sarcasm, so you have to be careful.
Maybe if we're lucky, his nose will grow long enough that it can support part of your dress and it won't make noise,
Landon suggested.
Shut up! Everyone shut up!
I said, rubbing the crease between my eyebrows. Stop arguing!
No one is arguing,
Landon said, rubbing my back.
We're just expressing ourselves in loud voices.
We're frustrated,
Sam said.
We're all frustrated, I said. We have a bigger worry, though.
Which is?
We still haven't found Clove, I said. Sam's face drained of color.
She's out there all alone. We have to find her.
There's one other thing, I said. Everyone waited. If Sam is here, I'm going to guess Marcus is here too, I said. Thistle balked.
Aunt Tilly likes Marcus, though.
It's fairy tales, Thistle, I said, keeping my voice low. That means there's almost always a princess and a prince.
Crap,
Thistle grumbled.
This is so unfair.
We have to stick together, I said. Our first order of business is finding Clove.
What about Marcus?
Hopefully he'll find us,
Landon said.
He can take care of himself. Don't worry about that. Bay is right, though. We need to find Clove.
She's probably terrified,
Sam said.
Where do we start looking?
Thistle asked.
We were heading in this direction just so we can meet up with Sam. Or will we find Clove this way?
I didn't know the answer to the question. Thankfully, I didn't have to try to scrape something up. At that exact moment, an ear-splitting scream tore through the night, and we all snapped our attention in its direction.
Somebody help me!
Clove! Sam said, pushing past us and breaking into a run. Clove!
Great,
Landon said.
I was worried things were about to get boring.
If your hair is long enough for someone to climb it, then it's long enough to cut off and climb down yourself. Suck it up and save yourself. Sitting around and waiting for a man is a complete and total waste of time. Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up.
6. We raced through the woods, branches reaching out to scratch our faces, but nothing could stop us. We'd located our missing cousin, and it sounded as though she was in trouble. We escaped the woods and found ourselves on an expansive and well-manicured lawn, the moon above casting an eerie pall over the area. In the center of the lawn was a high tower. The lone spire resembled a partially finished castle, and there was only one window in the stone edifice.
"Where is she?"
Thistle asked, bending over to catch her breath.
"Help me!"
I glanced around, and when my gaze finally landed on the tower window, I had to swallow the worry bubbling up in my throat. Crap.
"What am I looking at?"
Landon asked, worried.
"Is she in that tower?"
I pointed to the window. It was high in the tower, at least 50 feet above the ground. A faint light flickered inside, and a small figure moved back and forth at the window. "She's up there."
"Is something attacking her?"
I shrugged. I had no idea.
"Clove!"
Sam shouted.
"Are you okay?
Sam?"
Clove's voice was broken, as if she'd been crying.
"Is that really you?"
"It's me."
"What are you wearing?"
"He's Pinocchio,"
Thistle said, moving up to his side.
"Holy Godiva! What are you wearing?"
Clove asked, giggling maniacally.
"You look so stupid. What is that?"
"The worst Halloween costume ever,"
Thistle said bitterly.
"Bay and Landon woke up in their own clothes. Sam and I got stuck in this crap."
"Bay and Landon?"
Clove sounded hopeful.
"We're all here together?"
"Yes, and we're thrilled,"
Landon said. He scanned the side of the tower.
"This is really odd construction. Where's the door?"
"There is no door,"
Clove said.
"I've been searching for a way out for hours."
"Did you wake up there?"
I asked.
"Yes, I thought I was dreaming at first."
That was beginning to be our mantra.
"Are you alone in there?"
Landon asked.
"Yes."
Well, that was something at least.
"And you're sure there's no door or way out?"
I asked, focusing on Clove's terrified face.
"How did you get in there if there's no door?"
"I just woke up here,"
Clove snapped.
"How am I supposed to know?"
"This really isn't bringing out the best in any of us,"
Thistle said.
"We're all tired and scared,"
I said. I blew out a frustrated sigh.
"Clove, maybe we can find something to pad the ground here and you can jump."
"Like what?"
Thistle asked.
"I don't know,"
I shrugged.
"Tree branches?"
"I am not jumping from this high up. I'll break my neck."
"She's not jumping,"
Sam agreed.
"There has to be a trick to end this fairy tale."
Clove tilted her head to the side, confused.
"Fairy tale?"
"We've been cursed into fairy tales, or childhood stories, whatever you prefer," I said. "I woke up with 3 talking bears, Landon played footsies with a mermaid, Thistle rode a turtle, and Sam, well, he's obviously Pinocchio, complete with a growing nose when he lies."
"Fairy tales, huh?"
Clove glanced around the room.
"I wasn't telling big lies,"
Sam said.
"In fact, I was mostly being sarcastic."
Clove ignored him.
"Aunt Tilly cursed us into fairy tales?"
"That's the theory we're running on right now,"
I said.
"Why?"
"Oh, just, well..."
Clove leaned down, her face disappearing from view. When she returned to the window, she had something gathered in her arms. She dropped it out of the window, a long sheet of something that looked like fabric falling against the tower wall.
"I guess being in a fairy tale explains this."
"What is that?"
Sam asked, confused.
"It's hair,"
Thistle said. "Oh, crap," I muttered. "She's Rapunzel." The black hair was so long it almost reached the ground. It was only a few feet short.
"Huh,"
Landon said.
"Now, there's something you don't see every day." "What are we going to do?"
Sam asked. "I have no idea," I said. "Does anyone remember how Rapunzel got out of the tower in the story?"
"I never got that story,"
Thistle said.
"It never made sense to me. Still, I think the prince climbs her hair into the tower to rescue her, right?"
How does that work? I asked. If the prince climbs her hair, won't that strand both of them in the tower?
Maybe the fairy tale will end if we get someone up there with her,
Thistle said. I shrugged. It was worth a shot. I don't see where we have a lot of other options. Someone has to climb the tower and get to Clove. Landon blew a loud raspberry.
I guess that means I'm climbing the tower.
Sam grabbed his arm.
You? Why are you going to climb the tower to save my girlfriend? Because I'm stronger. You don't know that,
Sam said.
I work out 3 times a week. I'm with the FBI,
Landon reminded him.
Saving people is what I do.
I was starting to think Aunt Tilly was right about his ego being a personality defect. I cleared my throat, but both men ignored me.
She's my girlfriend,
Sam said.
If anyone is climbing that tower, it's me. I thought we were on a timetable here,
Landon countered.
Shouldn't the one who can climb up there the fastest be the one to do it? She's my girlfriend,
Sam said.
So? That means she's my princess.
Landon faltered, shifting a look in my direction.
Can you believe this?
Actually, I couldn't. I was starting to get angry. I agree with Sam, I said. These are fairy tales. She's his girlfriend. That means they're supposed to solve the story together.
Are you angry with me?
Landon knit his eyebrows together, conflicted. Why would I possibly be angry? That's ridiculous. Of course I'm not angry.
If you were Pinocchio, your nose would totally be growing right now,
Thistle said.
You're obviously angry.
Shut up, Thistle, I snapped, crossing my arms over my chest. I'm not angry. Hurt was more like it, but there was no way I was admitting that.
Does someone want to tell me what's going on here?
Landon asked.
Well, if I had to guess, your princess has her nose out of joint because you're trying to save another princess,
Thistle said, smirking.
Way to go, Prince Charming. Now you don't have any princesses.
Landon shifted his gaze to me.
Is she right? Are you jealous?
Of course not. I averted my eyes and focused on my shoes.
Oh, this keeps getting better and better,
Landon grumbled, running his hand through his hair. He took a step back to clear the path to the tower for Sam.
Go nuts. Get your princess. Thanks so much for your permission,
Sam said.
It means the world to me.
He clapped his hand to his nose, frowning as it expanded again.
Seriously? This is just crap. It's a lesson to teach you to stop lying,
Landon said.
Shouldn't you be paying attention to your princess?
Sam seethed.
It seems I'm not the only one having nose issues. Thistle was right. Bay's nose is out of joint because you have to be everyone's hero. I'm not trying to be everyone's hero,
Landon said.
I'm trying to keep everyone together so we can get out of here safely.
Thistle sent Landon a sarcastic thumbs up.
Good job. Shut up, Thistle.
Is someone going to climb up here and get me?
Clove asked, her patience wearing thin.
I can't stay up here much longer. I'm lonely.
I'm coming,
Sam said, shuffling toward the tower wall.
Just hold on.
He gripped a strand of Clove's hair and tugged on it.
Does that hurt?
I don't even feel it,
Clove said.
That's a relief,
Sam muttered. He tightened his hands around the hair, braced his foot against the tower, and started to climb. He moved slowly, taking special care with his foot placement and grip. The higher he got, the slower he moved, and he started to glance down at the ground with alarming frequency.
Are you afraid of heights?
Thistle asked.
Of course not,
Sam scoffed. Even from 20 feet beneath him, we could see his nose twitch.
I hate this stupid fairy tale world,
Sam grumbled. He wasn't the only one. After a few minutes of watching Sam, Landon slid his eyes in my direction.
Are you really jealous because I was going to climb up there to get Clove?
Was I? It seemed an irrational reaction. Still, I don't know, I admitted. Maybe it's this place. Landon slung an arm over my shoulders and pulled me closer, tucking me in close.
You know you're my only princess, right? Man, there's another sentence I never thought I'd say out loud.
I rolled my eyes. I have no idea why I'm jealous. I can't explain it. I just am.
You were right to say something,
Landon said.
This is Sam's job.
I pursed my lips, but remained silent. I could feel Thistle's stare burning into me, and I didn't want to have this discussion in front of her. As if reading my mind, Thistle scuffled a few feet away.
I'm going to check the back of the tower and make sure there are no surprises waiting for us there. You two keep talking about your issues.
We don't have issues, I said.
You're having some serious issues right now,
Thistle said.
Don't worry, I get it. If Marcus volunteered to be Clove's prince, I would be spitting nails right now.
I've forgotten about Marcus. Are you worried about him?
Right after we get Clove out of here, we need to start looking for him,
Thistle said.
I'm not worried, but I am concerned.
He's our next priority, I said.
Don't worry, Landon said. We'll find him, I promise.
I know,
Thistle said.
I have faith.
The second she said the words, something happened. A sparkly mist enveloped her, descending on the pink dress. Within seconds, the mist dissipated to reveal Thistle in her usual jeans and t-shirt. The look on her face was almost comical. She ran her hands up and down the shirt, a genuine smile on her face.
Thank the goddess,
she said.
I can't tell you how happy I am to be out of that dress.
We're all happy you're out of that dress, Landon said. I guess trusting the turtle to get you across the pond wasn't enough.
You had to have faith at the same time, I said. There are lessons built into all fairy tales. We have to figure out what they are.
Well, you two get started on that,
Thistle said.
I'm still going to check the area behind the tower. Maybe we'll get lucky. Marcus could be waiting for me right over that hill.
I watched her go, relieved things were going well for one of us. When I shifted my attention back, I found Landon studying me. What? I felt a little self-conscious.
Nothing,
he said.
I don't want you to be upset.
We're trapped in a fairy tale world, I said. I don't think I have a choice but to be upset.
You can be upset with our circumstances, but I don't want you angry with me, Landon said. You really are my one and only princess.
I scowled. I know. I said I was sorry. I have no idea why I was so jealous. It was stupid.
I think it's this place, Landon said. It's amplifying the bad parts of our personalities. The flaws, as Aunt Tilly would say. I think that's part of the curse. If we all worked together, we'd find a way out of this too quickly. She needs us to waste as much time in here as possible. That's what all the petty bickering is.
I hadn't thought of that. That would be like her, I said. That makes me feel a little better. I don't generally think of myself as a jealous person. That whole Lila Stevens nonsense notwithstanding. Landon grinned and leaned over to kiss my forehead.
You're not the only one being affected. Aunt Tilly was right. I'm bossy and I yell. Apparently, I also have a hero complex.
I like your hero complex, I said, resting my head lightly on his shoulder. There's comfort in finding normality in a surreal world like this.
We need to try really hard not to argue, Landon said. I know I'm guilty of doing the opposite, but now that we know what's going on, we can't let our emotions get the better of us. If we feel something coming on, we just need to take a step back and breathe.
That's easier said than done, I said. Sam is climbing Clove's hair and his nose grows every time he says anything sarcastic. That's pretty dangerous when you're in our situation. Landon chuckled.
I think that's kind of funny.
Why?
Because Sam was lying when we first met him, Landon said. It's as though it's karma, coming back.
I thought we were over that, I said. Sam is a good man. He put himself in danger to protect me.
I know, Landon said. I still find it funny.
Is that another personality flaw? Landon shrugged.
Maybe. I guess he'll just have to keep an eye on me.
Somehow I think I'm up to the challenge, I said.
Somehow I think you're right.
Landon gave me a light kiss.
Just out of curiosity, who was your favorite princess?
That's a weird question.
Don't all girls have a favorite princess?
I never really identified with the princesses, I said.
You didn't like fairy tales?
I guess I did, I said. I just never picture myself wearing a crown and a fancy dress.
Maybe that's why you stayed in your regular clothes,
Landon mused. I don't think that's the reason, I said. I just don't think the dress was necessary for my story. We'll have to wait and see.
I guess,
Landon said. He shifted his gaze to the tower window.
He's there.
I watched as Clove latched onto Sam's shoulders and pulled him into the window. Sam tumbled inside, taking Clove down to the floor and out of sight. They didn't immediately return to the window.
What do you think they're doing?
Landon asked.
Kissing.
Maybe Clovis transforming,
Landon suggested.
Sam finished the task.
They're still in the tower, I said. I don't think it's going to be that easy. As if on cue, Sam and Clove reappeared in the window.
Now what?
Sam asked. That was a very good question.
I have no idea, I said. Now all we've accomplished is trapping both of you in the tower.
Sam can always climb back down,
Landon said.
I'm not leaving Clove.
Another memory niggled the back of my brain.
We can cut Clove's hair off, I said. Do it up there, use it like a rope, tie it to something, and you can both climb down.
That's a good idea,
Sam said.
I'll see if I can find something to cut her hair.
That is a good idea,
Landon said.
How did you come up with it?
I didn't, I said. Aunt Tilly did, 20 years ago.
What?
Aha!
I jumped when Clove shouted. Instead of fear, though, her face resonated with rage.
You scared the bejesus out of me!
She reached out and smacked someone. I was surprised when Thistle stepped into view.
How did you get up there?
Landon asked, surprised.
There's a door on the back side of the tower, Thistle said. It looks as though it was hidden on this side.
I don't understand. I thought I was supposed to save Clove,
Sam said.
She's my princess.
Oh, crap! Does this mean Thistle's my prince?
Clove looked horrified.
No one wants that,
Thistle said.
I still suggest cutting your hair before we go down the stairs. They're narrow. You'll trip. Plus, you can't drag that hair through the woods.
Fine,
Clove said.
Just don't make it uneven, and I don't care what happens. I'm not kissing you. I'm not that kind of princess.
Yes, because that's exactly what I wanted. I wanted you to give me a big kiss. Stop wriggling. We'll be down in a minute.
Every frog could be a prince. If you're going to go around kissing them, though, you're going to have a dirty mouth. Always carry mouthwash in your purse. Not only does it make your breath smell better, if you're really in a pinch, you can throw it in someone's eyes and burn them if they get mouthy.
Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up.
7.
What happened to her dress, I said, looking Clove up and down once the three of them rejoined Landon and me on the ground. Did it poof like yours did? Thistle nodded.
The second I cut her hair, the dress started dissolving.
And what happened to Sam's short shorts?
I kind of missed them. Sam scowled at me.
That's not funny.
I wish we had our cell phones so we could have taken pictures for Facebook,
Thistle said, grinning.
Sam's outfit disappeared once he climbed through the window,
Clove said.
Everything went all sparkly, and the next thing I knew, he was in normal clothes.
I wonder why,
Thistle mused.
Because he fulfilled his fairy tale,
Landon said.
How?
He was brave and true, just like the cricket told him to be,
Landon said.
He climbed up the tower without regard for his own safety. He cared only about getting to Clove. And you were going to steal my princess,
Sam grumbled. Landon shot him a look.
Don't go there.
What is he talking about?
Clove asked.
Landon was going to climb up the tower for you because he thought he was stronger,
Sam said.
He stopped only because Bay was jealous.
I was not jealous. Thistle pressed her lips together. I was not jealous, I said. Landon rubbed my shoulder to soothe me.
Listen, we have to talk about a few things before we go anywhere else, he said. We figured out something while you guys were getting Clove out of the tower. Did you figure out that I'm as manly as you?
Sam asked.
Not even remotely,
Landon said, smirking. We figured out that the curse is keying in on certain personality traits, I said. Our personality faults, if you want to be more precise.
Oh, crap,
Thistle said.
That's why we're arguing nonstop.
You've been arguing nonstop?
Clove's eyes widened.
That's horrible.
This is bad,
Thistle said.
This means Clove is going to be even more of a Pollyanna than usual. Bay is going to be more insecure than usual. Landon is going to be more bossy than usual. And Sam is going to be... Huh. What's your biggest personality flaw?
I don't have one,
Sam said. He's got the ego thing with Landon, I said.
Hey, Landon said.
I thought we decided to call it a hero complex.
Sorry, honey, I said, smiling at him before rolling my eyes in Thistle's direction. This also means that you're going to be more bitchy than usual. Can you say that word in a fairy tale land? Probably not. You're going to be more whiny than usual.
I am not whiny,
Thistle said.
You're totally whiny,
Chloe said, laughing.
I'm not a Pollyanna, though.
You're a total Pollyanna,
Thistle said.
Don't listen to her, sweetheart,
Sam said, slipping his arm around Clove's waist and pulling her close.
She's trying to get under your skin the way she always does.
Which means that's going to be amplified while we're here, I said. We all have to make a concerted effort to control ourselves. Think before you speak.
Does that go for you, too?
Yes, I said. I'm the one who had the huge bout of jealousy when Landon wanted to climb up after Clove. I'm also the one who had the big jolt of insecurity when I woke up in the bear cabin alone.
You didn't tell me about that,
Thistle said.
What did you think? Did you think Landon got up in the middle of the night and abandoned you?
My cheeks burned under Thistle's steady gaze.
Oh, this is really a cluster of crap,
Thistle said.
Everything we hate about ourselves is going to keep popping up. You hate that you still worry about Landon walking out again, so that's exactly the first conclusion you jumped to when you woke up alone. Clove has a persecution complex, and she's going to spend the next however long we're stuck here thinking we're talking behind her back. This is officially a nightmare.
What do you hate about yourself?
Landon asked.
We're not going to talk about that,
Thistle said.
We need to figure a way out of this before we all implode, though. If we're not careful, we're going to do a lot worse than we usually do when we start arguing.
Speaking of nightmares, are we sure this isn't a dream?
Clove asked.
Just because we've never messed with dream magic before doesn't mean Aunt Tilly wouldn't risk doing it now.
She might, I conceded. That was one of the few rules she really drilled into us, though. I think it's something else.
What?
I've been giving it some thought, I said, pushing my hair from my forehead and exhaling heavily. I remembered something when Chloe was in the tower. That's how I knew her hair had to be cut off.
What did you remember?
Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up.
What?
Landon sputtered, chuckling heartily.
What is that?
Sam asked.
Oh, no,
Thistle said.
You're right. Oh, son of a... That's exactly what this is.
I think I'm missing something,
Clove said.
What are you guys talking about?
It's the book she used to read to us when our mothers put her in charge of our bedtime stories, I reminded her. Mom always told her to read fairy tales and children's books to us after she caught her reading that B.C. Andrews book in her bedroom one night and almost had an aneurysm.
That was the incest book, right?
That you remember,
Thistle muttered.
You don't remember Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up? But you remember the really creepy attic sex between a brother and a sister. Nice.
The only reason I remember it is because they had those movies on Lifetime a few months ago,
Clove replied defensively.
I'm not some creepy pervert.
She glanced at Sam for support.
I'm not.
I don't care how perverted you are. Tell me more about this book Aunt Tilly read to you guys,
Sam said. Once she was caught reading that book, our mothers made her promise she would read us only fairy tales before bed, I said. The problem is, Aunt Tilly doesn't like fairy tales. She thinks they're stupid.
They are stupid,
Landon said. They've survived and thrived for a reason, I said. Most of them have little lessons wrapped in pretty stories about fairies and princesses and talking bears. Aunt Tilly never liked them, though.
She took the traditional stories and altered them,
Thistle said.
She even created a book so she would have something to read when she was stuck with bedtime duty. I'll bet you she cursed us into that book. We're not asleep, we're in that book.
Altered them how?
She put her own spin on them, I said. Clove clapped her hand to her mouth.
Oh, I'm remembering them. The Rapunzel one had something to do with cutting your own hair off instead of waiting for a prince to save you. She said only someone truly pathetic would spend years in a tower when she could get herself out.
Exactly, I said. The moral of the three bears in the house wasn't that they offer comfort to a stranger. It was that you were supposed to remember not to touch other people's property.
If I had stayed in the cabin any longer, the bears would have tried to eat me if I touched any of their stuff in front of them. I got lucky. I was too afraid to touch anything.
What about the mermaid?
Landon asked.
Aunt Tilly was convinced that anyone who swam around with a seashell bra had to be loose,
Thistle said.
I think that one was pretty self-explanatory.
What about the turtle?
Landon pressed.
I don't remember that one,
Thistle said. It obviously had something to do with having faith, I said. I can't remember that one either.
What other stories are we looking at here?
Sam asked, worried. She made up a new one every night, I said. I can't remember all of them, but I know some of them were all takes on the classics, while others were figments of her imagination.
I remember Snow White, Cinderella, and Sleeping Beauty, but mostly because those are my favorite stories,
Clove said. You always did like the ones where the heroine danced and sang, I said. I forgot about that.
I remember the Wonderland one,
Thistle said.
I always loved that story, and Aunt Tilly completely ruined it for me. All that talk of creepy tea parties and talking rabbits. I'm still terrified of that bunny they trot out at the mall every Easter to take photos with the kids.
What was the point of the Pinocchio one? Sam asked. Why was the dude in the store so creepy?
Aunt Tilly said anyone who spent all his time whittling wood and dreaming about little boys wasn't really father material,
Clove said.
I remember that one. I've been afraid of puppets ever since.
You're not the only one, I said. Puppets freak me out.
They're better than clowns, Landon muttered.
It's okay, sweetie, I said, running my finger down the side of my face. I'll keep the clowns away from you, I promise.
He's afraid of clowns? That's rich,
Thistle said, snickering.
Is it because of the clown in It? It's always because of Pennywise.
Leave him alone, I said. He's had a rough night.
We've all had a rough night,
Clove said.
The question is, what do we do now? How do we get ourselves out of the book?
We have to find Marcus first,
Thistle said.
If we're all here, he has to be here, too. You promised we would find him next.
We are, Landon said. We have to figure out where he is.
Well, let's think about that,
Thistle said, rubbing the back of her neck.
We've all been in relatively close proximity to each other. I don't think he can be very far away.
Ribbit.
Thistle stilled.
No way.
What?
Clove asked.
Ribbit.
This can't be happening,
Thistle said, swiveling quickly.
That frog is back. I swear I'm going to kill it.
Why did it follow us? Landon asked. We've come a long way from that pond. It couldn't have been easy for it to follow across such a big distance.
I don't care,
Thistle said.
I'm going to squash it. I can't stand that sound. It's going to drive me crazy.
Thistle was short-tempered on a normal day. This was definitely not a normal day. The frog croaked so loudly it almost sounded like screaming. That's when I realized what was going on. Don't! Thistle froze, her eyes dark and her foot raised.
Why?
I think it's Marcus, I said.
Marcus? You think Marcus is a frog? That's ridiculous.
Thistle was doubtful, but she still lowered her foot.
Is it?
I asked. Isn't the Frog Prince a fairy tale?
It is,
Clove said. She pushed past Thistle and leaned down, staring the frog in the eye.
Are you Marcus?
Ribbit.
Oh, I think Bay is right. I think this is Marcus.
Thistle was livid. She reached over and scooped up the frog, lifting it so she could stare into its tiny eyes.
Marcus? Can this really be him?
Why else would the frog follow us from the pond? I asked. Landon woke up in a different fairy tale, but he was still close to me. We ran into each other first. I think we accidentally skipped over Marcus. That's when we found Sam, and Clove wasn't far from him. I think this is Marcus.
How do we change him back?
Thistle asked, mortified. Well, I glanced over at Clove for support, but her smile was both evil and gleeful.
You have to kiss it,
Clove said.
That's what happens in the fairy tale.
I am not kissing a frog. I'm just not going to do it. We don't even know that this is Marcus.
Does anyone remember what Aunt Tilly said in her version of that fairy tale? Landon asked.
Just that if you're going to go around kissing frogs and trying to turn them into princes, you should wash your mouth out when you're done, I replied. Landon chortled.
Oh, this is priceless. I don't even know what to say. I feel as if I'm going crazy.
You're not the one expected to kiss a frog,
Thistle said.
Just do it, Landon said. We have to know.
Thistle stared at the frog a second, and then she shoved it in my face.
You kiss it!
I'm not kissing that frog, I said, pushing her hand back. Besides, I already have my prince. You have to kiss it. He's your frog prince.
This is ludicrous,
Thistle said, pulling the frog back and lifting it closer to her face.
I'm going to do this, but only because I'll never forgive myself if this really is Marcus, and I let him stay in this state for 1 second longer than I have to.
Good, I said. Pucker up.
I hate you for this,
Thistle said.
This is all your fault.
How do you figure that?
I haven't decided yet, but the second I can find a way to blame it on you, I will,
Thistle said. I'll be waiting.
Oh, and you're officially dead to me.
I'm used to that, I said.
Okay,
Thistle said, inhaling a steadying breath.
This isn't going to be so bad. It's just a frog. It's not like it's a snake or a rat or a clown.
I'm never going to live this clown stuff down, am I?
Landon complained. Probably not, I said, slipping my hand into his. Thistle pressed her lips together, resigned, and then leaned forward.
Oh, crap. Here we go.
The second her lips touched the frog, a bright green light flared and the frog disappeared from her hand. I shielded my eyes from the blinding light, and when I dared turn back, I wasn't surprised to see Marcus standing in front of Thistle. Thistle pulled back, her eyes wide.
It was you!
It's about time, Marcus grumbled. Do you have any idea how hard it is to follow you guys as a freaking frog?
Thistle's face went from happy to sad within an instant, and then she promptly burst into tears.
I'm so sorry. You'll never know how sorry I am.
Marcus was taken aback.
It's okay.
He rubbed Thistle's back worriedly and pulled her in for a hug.
It's not as if you knew.
I was going to stomp on you.
Thistle sobbed, tears running down her face. We wouldn't have let you stomp on him, I said.
I almost stepped on you,
Thistle said.
I'm a horrible person.
You're not a horrible person,
Marcus said, kissing her cheek.
You didn't know. It's okay. We're all together now. Everything is going to be okay.
Marcus held her close and they began to sway, rocking her as she cried.
It's okay,
he whispered over and over.
Well, we're all together,
Landon said.
Now what? I'm ready to wake up,
Sam said.
I think we're all ready for that,
Landon said.
How do we make that happen? How do we get out of the book?
If seven strangers offer to help you, run the other way. Men don't run around together unless they're in gangs. Well, sometimes they run around together if they're trying to sell you a pack of lies, too. Or a nice bridge.
Aunt Tilly's wonderful world of stories to make little girls shut up.
8. I don't think we can magically get out of the book, I said. Thistle had stopped crying, although she didn't look particularly happy. Marcus kept her wrapped tight against him, her face pressed to his chest, and he was still swaying.
We have to finish the story,
Thistle said.
That's what you think, isn't it?
I nodded. Aunt Tilly isn't the type of person to let us walk away because we finished a few fairy tales. She promised retribution, and she needs us tied up for a long time. We're going to have to finish the book.
She warned us that she was going to do something,
Clove said.
We should have expected it.
How are we supposed to foresee her cursing us into a book, I asked.
I don't know,
Clove said.
I feel like we missed some obvious signs.
We can't focus on that now,
Landon said.
We have to start working our way through this world, and we need to do it faster than we've been doing it.
What if our mothers are here?
Clove asked. I don't think they are, I said. I'm sure she did something else to them. This was for us specifically. We're uniquely qualified to solve this because she created it for us.
I feel so loved,
Thistle growled.
It's not every great aunt who creates a horrible fairy tale world to curse her nieces. It's like I'm the luckiest girl in the world.
As much as I'm loving the pity party, we need to move on from this place,
Landon said.
We're obviously done here. We can keep talking. Let's just do it while we're walking.
Yes, sir,
Thistle said, mock saluting. While I didn't think the sass was necessary or helpful, I was glad to see the color returning to her cheeks and the snarkiness taking up residence in her voice again. Landon narrowed his eyes but wisely bit his tongue. After an ugly stare down, he turned his attention to me.
Which way now, sweetie?
Why are you asking her?
Clove asked.
She hasn't led us astray yet,
Landon said.
She knew how to find Thistle, and she led us to Sam. I say we stick with her intuition.
I don't think it's going to matter,
Thistle said.
I think we could pick any direction, and we'd stumble upon the next chapter in the story.
I still want Bay to choose,
Landon said.
Is that too much to ask?
Whatever,
Thistle said.
Come on, Princess Bay, pick a direction.
I ignore the sarcasm and press my eyes shut, feeling a tug to the right. There, I said, pointing. Landon grabbed my hand and started pulling me.
Let's go. He's really alpha right now,
Marcus said.
That's because the curse is also making us give in to all of our personality defects,
Thistle explained.
Bay is insecure, Landon is bossy, Sam is defensive, Clove is a Pollyanna.
What are you?
Marcus asked.
Relieved to have found you.
Marcus smiled and gave her a soft kiss.
That's very cute. I don't believe you, though. I'm guessing you're complaining a lot more than usual, which is a frightening thought.
I hate this night,
Thistle grumbled.
It's okay,
Marcus said.
We're together now. I'll take care of you. I'm your prince, right?
That's kind of insulting.
You'll live.
How do we know where we're going?
Clove asked. I just had a feeling to come this way, I said, pushing through some overhanging tree branches. I don't know why. I sucked in a breath when I reached the other side of the trees. This couldn't be good.
I have a feeling I know why you picked this way to come,
Landon said, his eyes landing on the yellow sidewalk cutting a winding path through the woods.
Is that what I think it is?
Thistle asked. It's a yellow brick road.
That's not a fairy tale, though,
Sam said.
It was a movie.
It was based on a book, and it's technically considered to be the first American fairy tale,
Clove said.
Oh,
Sam said.
That means this is probably going to be a fairy tale for you, doesn't it?
We won't know until we find out where the path leads, I said. Let's get moving.
I'm warning you guys right now. If there are flying monkeys, I'm out of here,
Marcus said.
You're afraid of flying monkeys?
And obviously Tickled Thistle asked.
They gave me nightmares when I was a kid,
Marcus conceded.
I agree with Bay.
Well, we can put your monkeys in a room with Landon's clowns and have a free-for-all,
Thistle laughed.
Way to get a handle on that bitchy thing, Thistle,
Landon said.
Way to get a handle on that bossy thing, Landon,
Thistle shot back.
Everyone shut up,
I said.
Can we have 5 minutes of silence, please?
Landon and Thistle made twin faces of disgust.
I agree with Bay,
Marcus said.
This is getting out of hand.
Maybe you should be Bay's prince then,
Thistle said.
You obviously like her temperament better than mine.
Don't even joke about that,
Landon said.
I'm hanging on to my princess, and Marcus is definitely hanging on to his. I don't want his princess. Good grief, the things I'm saying tonight are just flabbergasting.
Can we please just walk down the yellow road for 5 minutes without sniping at each other?
I asked.
Just 5 minutes.
Fine,
Thistle conceded.
After that, though, I'm going nuts.
That's going to be a short trip,
Landon said.
Has it been 5 minutes yet?
I'm going to have to kill her,
Landon muttered under his breath. I gripped his hand tighter. I know this is hard for you. I'm sorry. Landon's face softened.
You don't have anything to be sorry about, he said. You didn't do this.
My family did, though.
Bay, I love you, Landon said. I'm not angry with you. I'm angry at this situation. I'm sorry I'm being so obnoxious. I can't seem to help myself.
None of us can.
I just... Oh, someone tell me what that is.
We slowed our pace and focused on the small figure standing in the middle of the road about 20 feet in front of us. I had no idea where they came from, but they were here now. I'm guessing we're about to embark on Snow White, I said.
What makes you say that?
There are little people standing over there, I said.
Maybe they're munchkins. We are.